I want you to take your Bible this evening and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Tonight we continue our series on the subject of separation. We've had 7 other lessons. That makes this lesson number 8 on the subject of separation. And I have to tell you something, folks. To be very honest, you don't hear people talk about this subject much anymore, but it's still in the Bible, and Christians are still supposed to be separate from the world, and we're going to learn a little bit more about it tonight. I would recommend this. If you miss one of the lessons on separation, I really wish you'd go online and listen to it. They're all posted there. You can hear it or order it and listen to it, because a lot of it is built lesson upon lesson. Now, if you've not been at any of the other lessons, the sermon tonight will stand on its own 2 feet. But I think every piece of the puzzle is another sermon, or another. Each sermon is another piece of the puzzle that puts together a wonderful picture of this topic of separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Would you stand with me, please? Let's stand out of respect to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 17, and I'm going to read out loud all the way down to verse number 20. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse number 20 is the main verse that we're going to use. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Where it talks about our being ambassadors, that's what's going to get us started tonight. I'm going to tell you the title of the sermon, and then it's going to explain itself as it unfolds this evening. Tonight, the sermon is called Separation, Not Isolation. Separation, not isolation. And let's pray. Father, I certainly would like to make the subject tonight simple and easy to follow. I want the oldest Christian in the house, people that have just been in church for 40, 50, and 60 years, I pray that they would be encouraged, they would learn something. But Father, I have some 3- and 4-year-olds that will sit in this auditorium tonight. I would like them to be able to learn something as well. Oh, span the gulf of our minds and our maturity. And Lord, I can't do that. But your Holy Spirit certainly can. May the new Christian learn, and may the seasoned veteran learn. May all of us walk away from here tonight understanding the subject so we can better serve you. God bless us, please. Holy Spirit, use our time in a powerful way, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon, again, is called Separation, Not Isolation. In the passage of Scripture that I just read to you, I want you to notice, it says, "Now we are ambassadors for Christ." I want you to understand something. It says, "Now." Now we are ambassadors. Now, you understand, when we get to heaven, you won't need to be an ambassador anymore. We'll all be in heaven, but right now, we are ambassadors. You say, what does that mean? We represent another country. You say, what country? Heaven. We get to be ambassadors for heaven. Now, when we get to heaven, we won't have to represent heaven, because we'll all be in heaven. And there won't be undesirables there, but now we need to be ambassadors. Let me read another verse to you. In John 17:16, it says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And that's speaking of us as Christians. You've heard the song, and we all sing it. "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." You and I, born-again Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. While we're down here on the earth, we are to be ambassadors. We are representing the God of heaven. Now, the word "now" in that verse there in 2 Corinthians 5:20, the word "now" means something to me. And that's because right now we are ambassadors. Later on, we won't have to be. And so don't ever lose track of something. Every word that God put in the Bible, He put in there for a reason. It's there. We might not recognize immediately, but it's there for a reason. Now, we as Christians are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We are to be friendly in the world, but we're not to be best friends to this world. We are to live separate lives. Some, though, can wrongly take separation too far. You say, how so? Some not only separate, but they wrongly go so far as to isolate themselves from all who are in the world. Isolation means total detachment from society. An extreme example would be a monk or a nun. And I'm not attacking Catholicism tonight. I'll do that Sunday night. But what I'm telling you is they isolate themselves. They pull themselves out of society completely. God never told us to isolate. He told us to separate. And there's a difference in separation and isolation. Mrs. Owens is the only person that would know who I'm about to talk about. I'm only going to use a person's first name. In a church that we attended back when we were teenagers still, one day a man showed up at our church. His name was Lynn. Lynn had, to be very honest, he when he got out of the military, he'd served in Vietnam. Lynn had bought a big piece of property out of the middle of nowhere, and Lynn totally isolated himself from society. He had a pond because he grew his own fish. He had a garden, and he grew his own vegetables. He had animals, and he grew all of his own food. He did not have electricity, and he looked like who are those duck people that never shave, and what do they call them? Are they the Robertsons? Is that their name? He looked like one of them. He was one of the duck people. Isn't there something else to their name? Are they more than Robertsons? Duck, yeah, that's it. The Duck Dynasty. You know your Bible, Jerry. Well, one day, this guy named Lynn shows up at our church, and I'm hearing him talk about what he had done. Is he had taken himself out of society, and he went out in the middle of nowhere, and he didn't want anything to do with anybody. Now, he had isolated himself completely. He came to our church and he got saved and he got baptized and we unducked him. And he learned the difference in isolation and separation. But he had virtually isolated himself. And I mean, again, I go back to everything he did, he tried to pull himself completely out of society. And I'll tell you why. He said, I was so disgusted with people and politics. So he had isolated. Let me show you something. I have some wire here. Now, you understand this wire, electricity runs through this wire. Power runs through this wire. You see this plastic, and this is insulation on the outside of the wire. So this wire is insulated. You say, why do we insulate it? We insulate it to make it usable. The insulation is separation. The insulation is for safety. If you don't have this insulation on here and you walk up and touch this when it's hot, might be the last time you touch anything. Okay? The insulation is protection. The insulation makes it more usable. But what we don't do is we don't isolate the power. In other words, we don't shut the power off completely, because if you shut the power off completely, it's unproductive. So we insulate, that's separation. But if you shut the power off completely, that's isolation. Hey, separation in your life is insulation. It makes you more usable, and it's safety. Your separation keeps you out of the world that keeps the world from messing you up. Now, but God does not want you totally isolated. Why? Because there is a power that is to run through the Christian that is to be productive. But the isolation is the separation that makes you more usable. Does that make sense? Good. The sermon tonight is this: separation, not isolation. First of all, let me remind us of something that we've already learned. Number one, what is separation? Titus chapter 2 verse 12 says, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Folks, Christians are to live holy lives. You've heard me say this before. You don't hear a lot of people use the word holy anymore. It's still in the Bible. The word Bible does not show up anywhere in the Bible, but it very well describes this book. And, you know, people used to call it more than just a Bible. You know what they used to call it? Holy Bible. That's like matrimony. You know what they used to call it? Holy matrimony. The word holiness has been retracted from our thinking. I mean, even in Christianity, you hear someone say the word holy, it almost scares people. Well, that's weird. No, that's right. That's right. So the Bible tells us here that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Christians are to separate from anything that gives God's family a bad name. We separate from the bad unto the good. We are to be different than the lost. We are to be like God in this present world the best we can. Now, we're just pilgrims in the world, and heaven is our real home. But we try to live as much a heavenly lifestyle as we pass through this world as we can. So, what is separation? Separation is when you and I get away from the things of the world that would taint us, or the things that would give God a bad name, or the family. We're a part of the family of God. We don't want to give the family name. We don't want to hurt the family name. So we've talked about separation. Now, the sermon, though, is called Separation, Not Isolation. So what is separation? I've explained that. Number two, what is isolation? Okay. Luke 11:33 says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now, the Bible's making it very clear. If you light a candle, it has a purpose. You don't light it and then try to keep the light from doing anything. Now, an isolationist would wrongly light a candle and then hide it, so it helped no one. We're not isolationists. Remember, we're separate. We believe in separation, not isolation. Remember, the insulation makes the power usable. It adds safety. But we're not going to cut that wire off so it has no power flowing through it. We're not going to isolate it. So an isolationist wrongly practiced total detachment from society. An isolationist, they virtually go into exile. An isolationist, they become totally secluded from the world. They withdraw from the world. An isolationist may practice total retreat from the lost world. They become recluse in their attitudes and behavior. An isolationist would, they quarantine themselves from everybody and everything. There's a difference in separation and isolation. We believe in separation. Some take it too far, and they practice isolation. Now, number three, Jesus was a perfect example of being separated yet not isolated. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 5 real quick. Luke chapter 5. I said point number three is Jesus was a perfect example of being separated yet not isolated. Luke chapter 5. I want you to find verse number 27. Luke chapter 5, verse number 27. Luke 5, 27. And I'm going to read to you from Luke 5:27. It says this: and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with the publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, that they which are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, here's the story. Jesus meets a publican by the name of Levi. And Levi gets saved, and Levi invites Jesus to his house. And Jesus takes him up on it. And then Levi said, I'm going to invite my lost friends to have this meal. And it was for the purpose of Levi's friends getting saved. So Jesus meets a publican. The publican, now you say, what's a publican? That's a tax collector. That's an IRS guy. All right? Jesus says to Levi, you come follow me. Levi said, I'm gonna throw a meal. The scribes and Pharisees see what happened, and they basically criticize Jesus and his disciples and said, what are you doing with those people? And Jesus said, these people need doctored. They need spiritual doctor. The scribes and Pharisees were virtually pushing isolationism. They were saying, you should not be where that lost person is. And I believe separation tells us not to be where lost people are a lot. But this was soul winning. Jesus was going to win these people to Christ, and the scribes and Pharisees were criticizing him for that. And Jesus, what he says, if you really took a moment and studied it, Jesus basically said, I'm separated, but I'm not isolated. Say, how do we know that? Luke 19:10 says, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You say, what's the big deal about separation versus isolation? Well, first of all, separation is what the Bible teaches, and isolation is not. But secondly, the reason why you and I practice separation and not isolation, if we were isolated, we'd never win the lost to Jesus. So while we're in this world, we are to separate from it, but not isolate from it, because we are given the responsibility of telling the lost world about Jesus Christ. And Jesus strongly condemned this thought of total isolation. Just the fact that Jesus left a perfect heaven to come to earth teaches us he was not practicing isolation, but he was practicing separation. Again, never forget the verse, Luke 19:10, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So, we all know this. We're to follow the example of Christ. And Jesus was perfectly separated, but not isolated. Why? Because he loved people and wanted to win them to Christ. So, point number one, I explained what separation is. Point number two, I explained its counterpart, isolation. Thirdly, we see that Jesus practiced separation, not isolation, and we are to follow his example. Number four, Christians are to be separated, but not isolated. You say, that's what you're saying. I know, I just reworded about 10 times and say it over and over again. But let me show you what I mean. James 1:27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God. It talks about this. It says, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, I'm to stay unspotted from the world. But do I live in this world? Yes. Why is it? Why did God save you and leave you here? Why didn't God save you and take you right to heaven? Well, he saved you and left you here because he had something for you to do. Was it to eat Big Macs and French fries? You're here to be a part of a workforce. To do what? Same thing that Jesus came for. What did Jesus come for? To reach the lost. So we practice separation, and so you understand, separation makes you more usable. Whether you understand that or not, I could prove it. I could take you to the people in our church that are separated who are probably the best soul winners in the church too. Now I could take you to the ones that are least separated, and I could probably show you that they don't win a whole lot of souls. I can take you to the churches. You, the churches that are the wildest and the worldliest, probably don't see a whole lot of people saved. Not really. They have to entertain people to draw them in. Our big hook is salvation. But what I'm here to tell you is We are a part of a workforce. So when God saved us, He didn't take us straight to heaven. He left us here. Now, while we're here, He said, I love you, and I don't want you to be like the world, and I don't want you to mess up your life, so I want you to practice separation, but not isolation, because I need you to become a part of the workforce that helps to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Now, the fourth point of my outline is Christians are to be separated, but not isolated. Now, I'm going to read through a series of scriptures. I'm going to show you separation is not isolation. For instance, separated Christians are to be a witness before all men. Acts 1:8 says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth." You know, Brother Earl, we send missionaries everywhere. They're to be separated. But just in the fact that we sent them, that's not isolation. We're actually sending them to the lost. To be like the lost? No. To help the lost to get saved. So, separated Christians are to be witnesses before all men. That teaches separation, but not isolation. Then, separated Christians are to be ambassadors to all men. The Bible says, as we read earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." We represent another country. Are we to become like this world? No, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Are we going to live in this world? We are. Are we to be like the world? No, not at all. That is separation, but not isolation. Then, separated Christians are called to preach the gospel to all men. Mark 16:15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, that didn't say, "Go ye into all the world and listen to the world's music. Go ye into all the world and dress exactly like the world. Go ye into all the world and have all the entertainments exactly like the world." That's not what it said. It "go ye into all the world and get them saved." We are not to isolate for the purpose of reaching the world. But we're not supposed to be like the world. And people say, "Well, if you want to reach them, you're going to have to be like them." Phooey on that. You're not supposed to do that. That's not what God said. Say, "Well, there'll be some you won't reach if you're not like them." I guess they won't be reached then, because I'm not only to do what He commanded, I'm to use His technique to do it. So, separated Christians are called to preach the gospel to all men, Mark 16:15. Then, separated Christians are to be shining lights before all men. Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men." We sing the song, and the children all know it, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes." And they sing that verse, "Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine." Now, what is that? God gave me a light, it's to shine. Now, am I to be spending all my leisurely time partying with the world with my light? No, the light is there to win the lost. I'm to be separated, but not isolated. So, I'm to be a shining light. Then, next, separated Christians are to do good unto all men. Galatians 6:10, it says, "Let us do good unto all men." Now, we're to be good to people. So, hey, Christian, and what helps a church that believes the Bible doctrine of separation? Folks, let's go around and do good. Let's do good. There are people that will look at us because we do use the word holy and we still believe the Bible doctrine of separation. They'll look at us and say, "Are you a bunch of weirdos?" No, no. And your goodness will help them to put up with us. But we're to do good, and we're to do good. It's still right to do good deeds. Now, good deeds won't save you, and you all know that. But good deeds ought to be coming out of the Christian. And I think good deeds, I think it draws people to the Savior. And that's one of the reasons we're to do good deeds. So, and good deeds have been taught for years. An isolationist, they pull themselves out of society. How can they do good deeds if they're gone out of society? So, and the greatest good deed that you could do for a lost person is tell them about Jesus Christ and keep them out of hell. Okay? So, we see that separated Christians are to be witnesses before all men. We see that separated Christians are to be ambassadors to all men. We see that separated Christians are called to preach the gospel to all men. We see that separated Christians are to be shining lights before all men. We see that separated Christians should do good unto all men. Then, separated Christians are to walk in wisdom toward all men. The Bible says in Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. So there's a way we're to walk, there's a way we're to act, there's a way we are to behave. Are we to be like them? No. We are to be separated. But we have to live with them. That doesn't mean we spend all of our casual time with them. In other words, you go out and you do right in a lost world. You're not to be like them. You're not to act like them. You're not to behave like them. And one of the main purposes we're here is to win them to Jesus Christ. And you're to live with wisdom in this world. And one of the purposes of that wisdom is not just to make you a success. It's to help you to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Let me go on. Separated Christians are to pray for all men. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers be made for all men. I'm to pray for the lost. I'm not to isolate. I am to separate. But my purpose is winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Next, separated Christians are to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:17, provide things honest in the sight of all men, the Bible says. One of the reasons you ought to be honest is because God's honest and you're supposed to be like Him. But secondly, you're to be honest in this present world because that'll have something to do with whether or not people would listen to you about the primary purpose you were left here, and that's keeping people out of hell. You know, if you're dishonest with someone and then you turn around the next day and say, I'd like to tell you about my Jesus, they're going to say, you're full of prunes, buddy. If your Jesus is a liar like you are, if your Jesus is dishonest like you are, why would I want anything to do with Him? So you and I are to be honest. Why? Because it paves the way for the possibility of presenting the gospel, which is the reason that we were left here. So we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're an ambassador for another world. We're to separate. We're not to live like them. We're not to be like them. We're not to have their entertainments, any of that. But we're not to retract from them completely, because then we couldn't present the gospel to them. Let me go on. Separated Christians are to live peaceably with all men. Romans 12:18 says, live peaceably with all men. Now, we should try to get along with people. We should try, you need to hone your skill with people. And you say, I'm trying to improve my people skills so I can get a raise. You ought to try to improve your people skills so you can keep people out of hell. And did you know something I've learned? I've learned people that are out telling others about Christ and talking for Jesus and representing Christ, they're often people that do well at work anyway. I mean, when it comes to their people skills. Did you know something? I think a bus route trains people very well for people skills. Do you know on a bus route you're going to deal with a child, you're going to deal with a teenager, you're going to deal with an adult. You're going to deal with men, you're going to deal with women, you're going to deal with moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and the educated and the uneducated and the saved and the lost. Wow, what training. But you know the primary purpose of bus routes is not to try to get a big attendance down at the church, it's to keep people out of hell and to be training people to become a part of the workforce, which was the purpose for which we were left here in the first place. So, here we're told that separation Christians are to live peaceably among all men. One reason why you ought to learn how to get along with people at work is because if you can't get along with somebody at work and it's your fault, you probably won't be real attractive to them when it comes to telling them about Jesus Christ. We need to learn. Separated Christians are to let their moderation be known unto all men. The Bible says in Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, again, in all of these cases, we're seeing that Christians are going to be around people. And that's the primary reason I'm giving you all the verses. God is saying, I want you separated, but not isolated. You know, there are actually churches that they stay in their church and hope that the lost stumble in. They just hope somebody that needs to be saved will come by the church. They just hope somebody that's lost will come and inquire. I have to tell you something. I've been preaching now for over 40 years. Brother Jason, I never one time have had somebody walk up to me and say, good sir, what must I do to be saved? Ever. Now, there are people that will stumble into the church, but the Bible says, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. What is that? Now, God didn't say, go be like them. He said, you go out there and you live right and you do right. You live separated, but go get them and let's get people to the Savior. Let's get people to Jesus Christ. So, over and over again in the Bible, we see that God gives the Christian the responsibility to reach the world. But we're not to be like the world. This isn't in my outline, and I think I can say it properly. The power of God is so absent from churches today, most churches believe they're going to have to become like the world to win the world. So they want the world's music, they want everything that the world has, hoping to attract people into the church. Listen, folks, if we have the power of God, we can live separated and still get people in the church. But you know what they say? Well, people won't be attracted to that kind of preaching, and people won't be attracted to that separation stuff. We weren't supposed to attract them with those things necessarily. The power of God is what will change somebody. And if the churches would get the power of God back, well, I don't have to apologize that we don't use contemporary music in our church. And I'm not going to apologize that I stand on the King James Bible. And I'm not going to apologize that I think men and women are supposed to be different. I'm not going to apologize for all that. So you'll never get anybody to come to your church. We have a full parking lot and overflowing. I'm teaching a series on Wednesday nights on separation. It's going to be okay. But listen, we're to be in the world, but not like the world. And folks, Christianity's been doing this for years, but everywhere you go, churches are dipping their sails and bringing the world into the church as an attraction. Jesus is a good enough attraction to get people saved. You don't have to become like the world. Jesus knows what He's doing. We as Christians represent Him, and if we'll do it right, He can take care of the rest. I think this, separated Christians are to honor all men. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men. What's it talk about? The way we treat people out there in society. Which, if we're going to honor all men, that means we're around men. Now, did you know, I get to work for the church. And I'm so glad of that. And you don't. You say, well, I wish that I could work at the church. I wish you could too, but you can't. But you know what you can do? You can live a separated life out there in the world and do a great work by having an influence in the world. And that's why we were left here anyway. It's that influence. Separated Christians are to have a good report before all men. 1 Timothy 3:7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. So, when someone decides, I'm going to become a monk, I'm going to pull out of society completely, and they think that's being spiritual. I'm sorry, that's not spiritual. That's not scriptural. And so you all do understand. There are people that actually teach isolate. There are churches that they don't reach out to the lost. They think the lost needs to come to them. You're going to have to throw a lot of verses out of the Bible that are in there that go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. And over and over and over again, the Bible talks about letting your light shine before men. So, I think it's very clear that we are to separate, but not isolate. Remember, separation is the way that God helps to clean us up and keep us safe and make us usable. Isolation takes it so far as to remove yourself from society completely. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I think Jesus is a perfect example. Now, there will be isolation for all of you someday. It's a place called heaven. Revelation 21:27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it, speaking of heaven, anything that defileth. You see, when we get to heaven, the only people that will be there in heaven will be saved people. There'll be no lost people in heaven. There'll be no need for soul winning in heaven. God will keep heaven perfect, and He will isolate us from all harm and all injury. But that is only in heaven. And I'm sure you've all noticed here on earth, this ain't heaven. Say, preacher, ain't's not a good word. I know, but it makes for good preaching. This is not heaven. This is the earth. That's why the opening scripture, it said, now We are ambassadors for Christ. You and I are ambassadors for heaven. We represent another country. It's our job to tell others about Jesus Christ. That's why we were left here. The same cause as Jesus. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Are we to be like them while we do this? No. We're to be different. So we are to separate, but not isolate. A very simple sermon, but I think sometimes people can go too far. I've met people that they got saved, they started cleaning themselves up, and somehow in separation they went so far as to never go tell others about Christ, never want to be involved in the world at all. Folks, we live here. We live here. We're to be good to people. We're to have a good testimony. When we have dealings, we're to be honest. We're not to be like them, and we're to reach them through the power of God and our lives. Don't forget the illustration. In that wire, there's power. It is insulated to make it usable. That's separation. It's insulated to make it safe. That's separation. It's not isolated. It's not shut off completely, because that is useless. And let me remind you of this. God helps to clean you up through the process of purification and sanctification, if you will. God cleans you up. He cleans you up to use you. Now that helps you. That's good for you. It's ultimately good for Him. You say, well, I don't feel like being separated. Well, maybe this isn't all about you. Maybe God wants you to be separated so you can be more usable to do something for God. I don't like the idea of being separated. Okay, well, you ought to like the idea of helping somebody stay out of hell. I'll be honest. I don't know of a bunch of worldly soul winners. Do you? Why not? Well, just not as usable. They don't make a real impact on the world. So, I do believe, though, in the end, we'll get some isolation out of this thing. And that is when we all get to heaven, He's going to keep us perfectly safe there, and nothing defiling will enter. But until then, we are ambassadors down here representing what we'll have there someday. It is said in John 17:16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're just passing through. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, could I recommend Jesus to you? Get saved. Trust the Lord as your Savior. Best decision you'll ever make is getting saved. And then may I say to every Christian that's here, let's practice separation, but not isolation. We need to be telling others about Christ. We're going to live in this world. We have no choice. We were left here for a reason. Don't let it go to the extreme. I mean, there are people that virtually pull themselves completely out of society. Now, don't get me wrong. We are to separate from the world. We're not to be going where the world goes for all their entertainments and everything. But we are to be reaching out to them. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. If I died tonight, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. And then, to the Christian, would somebody here tonight say, Pastor, I have learned something. I've been challenged. I think I understand something scripturally tonight. I understand something a little better than maybe I did before. And God has spoken to my heart this evening in the sermon. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? Lots of hands. God bless you. We're going to have a brief altar call after that. We'll take just a moment and take prayer requests. If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come to the altar. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you need a moment at the altar, you come. Some of you need to practice separation more so that you're more usable, so that the power of God can flow through you better. Oh, but you can't just totally isolate yourself from all society. Oh, I don't think you ought to be going out carousing and drinking and cussing and partying and doing all those stupid things. No, we're to separate from those things. We're not to go to everything that calls itself religious. Not at all. Not at all. There is ecclesiastical separation. There are things that we are not to participate in. But we need to be telling people about Jesus. Levi got saved and said, Jesus, I'm going to have a meal for you. And the meal was planned for Jesus. And then I'll bring some of my lost friends so you can win them to Christ. That was Jesus practicing separation, not isolation. And the Pharisees said, what are you doing? And Jesus said, these people are sick and I'm a doctor. I'm trying to help them. But he wasn't trying to be like them, and he didn't go join their religious organization, and he didn't hold hands with every Tom, Dick, and Harry to get it done. Jesus was pure in his intent, and it was about salvation and the souls of men.